Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, July 30th, 2014. With me today, I have the always awesome Adam Christensen. How are you, Adam?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, and thank you for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome.
And also the amazingly elegant John Martellaro.
Ah, that's a new one. Yes, I'll vote for that.
Awesome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, it's great to have both you guys here. And I thought that it would be kind of fun to dive into something that, John, you kind of went off on during our morning meeting today. And this is the whole thing with the way Apple has been rolling out product updates lately.
Yes, it started with the MacBook Air back in April, which was fairly quiet. And then we had updates to the MacBook Pro the other day. And now you wrote an article this morning about possible leaks of a new 27-inch.
And, sure. and then last night, Kelly wrote an article about a possible leak for updated Mac Minis.
Right. And so I started thinking, you know, Apple seems to be perhaps excessively low-key about these product updates. Now, there was a time when we had iPad fever and iPads were coming out fairly frequently in 2012, and it made sense to do a slipstream upgrade of some of these products. But here we are on July 30th, and Apple hasn't announced an iWatch. They haven't announced anything to do with next-generation TV. They haven't announced a new iPhone 6 yet. But we had some exciting announcements, mostly software-related at WWDC and some great initiatives. But in terms of product announcements, it seems to me that Apple's being just a little bit too low-key. They could get better mileage out of this. And while we were talking this morning, as you said, in the meeting, and Brian suggested that they were inappropriate for a media event, and I'm thinking I agree. There's no reason for Tim Cook to come out on stage with a microphone and talk for 30 minutes about a slight upgrade to the speed of the Haswell processor in a MacBook Pro. But it seems to me like there's still some other things that they could do. I mean, I'd like to see when a product is upgraded, I'd like to see Apple take note of that on Apple.com on the main page. Hey, look, everyone, we've got upgrades to our computers. They're better. They're faster. And here's a link to the product page for the upgraded processor. As you said in the meeting this morning, Jeff, they come out with a press release, which may be overlooked. And they have a little new icon or badge on the product on the store. And that's it. And considering all the flack that Apple takes for not coming out with new products often enough, I think they could be smarter about getting some better mileage out of these upgrades without necessarily, as you said, having a media event.
Okay, so when I'm looking at what Apple has done with product launches over the past several months, I keep waiting for a big event, and WWDC, I'm not counting in that cycle because we get that every year, and we get to see our previews of the next version of OS X and the next version of iOS. So I'm talking about other like new product launches. Apple has promised us that this is going to be a huge year for product announcements, and we are at this point. Wait, how many days are in July? 31.
Right.
So we are now 2 days away from being in August, and we have no product announcements that I would consider to qualify as big.
It's a problem. And I'm not saying that Apple should try to present these processor and memory upgrades for the Macintoshes as something that's on par with the big thing coming, because then Apple would be accused of trying to, you know, pump the channels and make a big thing out of nothing. But I think there's some room for a more pride and more showmanship and a little more advertising. Because after all, and even though the Macs were selling well and they had a great quarter last year, there were reasons for that. It was mostly driven by the MacBook Air, which is a great entry-level product at a low price, as Tim Cook has pointed out. But they have other products in the line too, and if Apple wants to continue to pump the Mac sales, customers should be very well aware of price reductions, older products, new products, faster, better. The slipstream stuff is just starting to make me wonder a little bit if they couldn't do more.
All right, so if we take out WWDC, when was the last big Apple product announcement? And I'm thinking this was last fall.
you're asking us to recall, yeah.
And I know this isn't fair because I don't remember what I had for breakfast.
Well, it was the Mac Pro, which was announced a year ago and then started shipping in December. Disregarding the fact that it wasn't easily available until June, it started shipping in December. So that was the last big thing, I think.
Really?
Right? Because the iMacs were updated in the fall. I've got one of them, a 2013.
How about the iPad Air?
iMac. The iPad Air came out, what, in...
Are you talking about any Apple product? Are you
any Apple product? Well, now I'm talking about any Apple product, because for Mac, you're right, the last big Mac announcement we had was WWDC a year ago.
Right. Right, and Apple's not pushing iPods anymore, so there's no big fall back-to-school iPod event. So I'm starting to get a little bit uneasy about the rate of progress or technical development of the Macs that allow Apple to say something noteworthy.
Well, so for any Apple product, though, Jeff, to answer your question, it would have been the iPad announcement in October, right?
That's the only thing that's coming to mind for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I realize what a stretch it is for us to remember back that far. Because like I said, I don't know what I had for breakfast.
Well, I think the cycle that when Apple's doing major announcements, it seems like to me just the rough cycle seems to be there's iPhone, iPad, something in the fall, and roundabout end of winter, early spring is when they may or may not do some sort of Mac announcement if there's something worthy of, you know, what they sort of deem worthy of announcing. I'm trying to remember when did they announce the thin iMacs, the current models that they're designed, that they're selling. That's what I can't I'm racking my brain to remember that one.
Let's see. That was 2013, right? So would that have been spring?
That's what I think. Did they have a special announcement for that, or was that part of... And that's what I can't remember when... I seem to remember them, Phil Schiller, announcing that thin iMac. Yeah, because they had that whole thing where it rotated to the side, right? They had it...
Right. Everybody was complaining about how it looked thin, but it was really kind of a little fatter in the back where the guts were. You're right. I remember that.
So, and I just don't remember when. I don't remember.
Well,
when
should Apple have a spring event and a fall event? Remember how Apple seemed to complain indirectly about being forced into product announcements at Macworld in January and Macworld New York in July. And so Apple kind of, as I recall, said, you know, we want to release products on our own schedule, not on the Macworld schedule. But still, spring came and went and nothing happened. And I wonder if it's because Apple's really working on hard on something that's a breakthrough and they need extra time. I don't know.
Yeah. It could be. The idea of Apple doing a routine spring and fall event, on one hand, sounds great because then we know that Apple is getting the news out about whatever it is in a big way on a regular basis. The downside I see to that is that their competitors then can prepare for Apple's product launch cycles.
That's true.
And right now, no one can prepare for an Apple product launch because no one has a clue when anything's going to happen.
That's true. But remember what Steve Jobs said, great artists ship.
Those thin iMacs were October 2012, believe it or not.
Wow. Okay, so that's even farther back than I realized.
And that was the Fusion Drive announcement, and they also looks like they had updates to Mac Mini. Was that all at that one event? Like, did they? I don't even remember now. I mean, that's. I remember there being these huge events where Apple just sort of dumps everything on us, and I think that was another one of those where we just got like a metric ton load of announcements.
I think you're right. So maybe that means that in the next 6 weeks or 8 weeks, we'll have another metric buttload of announcements dumped on us.
I hope so. I'm looking forward to it.
But, well, if the leaks that ended up on Apple's website yesterday are any indication, there's at least a minor update or refresh coming for the Mac Mini soon and for the 27-inch iMac.
Yeah, yeah. That, you know, so getting back to sort of what John was talking about, I don't know that, John, I necessarily agree for these minor feature bumps where they're not doing big changes that Apple needs to do much more than they're doing. Because I think geeks and people who follow this stuff, we're going to find out about it through the regular channels like Mac Observer and other places like that. And the average consumer for like a minor processor bump, you know, when there's not something dramatically different in the model, I don't think they take note or even notice. It's just they're going to go into an Apple store and they're going to get whichever model is the best one that Apple's making at the moment.
Sure.
I don't know if it would juice sales for the average consumer, I guess. You know, I don't know if that would impulse a consumer to go, oh yeah, I should go upgrade my iMac now.
Well, I have to admit, you know, we don't quite have the same numbers as Apple.com. So, right. You know, Apple could, that's probably the one place a lot of people go routinely to look at things and learn about things. And then there's another segment of the audience who are really kind of techie and they, you know, they read Macworld and they read iMore and they read Mac Observer and stuff like that and tidbits. So that they're kind of better well read and they're going to run across that. But for the average consumer, some ballyhoo at Apple.com would help. And I'm wondering if maybe there's opportunity to, you know, work on the design or the features or something, to press the technology a little better because, you know, if Apple has spending all this money on R&D, $4 or $5 billion now a year, you'd think that they'd be pushing the Macintosh technology a little more.
But they're not, the thing is what is there to push? I mean, we're talking about a Haswell processor bump of a couple megahertz, you know, or point couple megahertz is really all I would expect to see in a new iMac at this point, because they're not going to go to Broadwell. So I think we'll get an announcement when they, you know, transition to Broadwell. I think we'll have that a big announcement again. But until they can do that, and that's Intel sort of holding them up, you know, I think they probably just feel it's not worthy of you know, much fanfare.
Well, one of the articles I said was that the MacBook design has also stabilized. That the slim aluminum design has been with us for a long, long time. And one of these days, Johnny Ive is going to go. And I've read The Virtues of Aluminum, too. Steve Jobs came to appreciate the qualities, the mechanical qualities of aluminum and the machining ability. And Apple has geared its manufacturing process around the unibody design and a really strong and slim aluminum body. But just as people like to customize their iPads in that recent commercial we saw, what was the name of that? Stickers?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Stickers right. All over the MacBook Air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if maybe there's an opportunity for Apple to sort of further set themselves apart by doing something a little bit different and just to get the juices flowing and get people excited a little more. You know, I noticed that the Apple logo is not backlit anymore on these MacBooks. Isn't that right? It's just a white logo. Is it backlit still?
Yeah, it's still backlit.
Oh, okay. I was looking the other day and I didn't see it. Maybe I looked wrong.
You looked wrong.
Maybe if it or there was, you know, some other feature that kind of gave it some jazz or something to get people excited. I don't know. I'm just pondering as I usually do.
I think a lot of I know I'm with you, and I think a lot of Apple Mac fans are with you too. You know, it starts to feel like Apple is sort of stagnating the line, or just not really caring so much, and that the focus is, you know, the next big thing, whatever that is, the wearable, and also just, you know, continuing to pump the iPhone and the iPads and things like that, you know, in lieu. And, you know, to some degree, I think that matches with sort of the philosophy that we're hearing when we hear Tim Cook speak and stuff like that. They really think those are the future, and, you know, the desktops and even the laptops to a certain point are becoming those trucks that we all have, you know, sort of that utility grounded thing that we have, but it's really not that, it's not that exciting, and it's not going to change too much. And, you know, and that's kind of sad, if, you know, being fans, you know, I'm with you. It's kind of sad to see that happen, but it may just be what we're left with moving forward.
I have a feeling you may be right, because we were already prepped for this on some level with the trucks versus cars analogy, and we're seeing a faster change in the iPad and the iPhone,
right?
And you're right, the MacBook design has been pretty consistent for a really long time now, and maybe it's going to stay that way, or maybe this is like the Mac Pro, where it goes on and on looking exactly the same, and people think that Apple is just abandoning it, and then all of a sudden we get this radical new design,
right?
So maybe that's coming too.
Yeah, unfortunately, and I hate to say this, you know, I think the desktops and the notebooks might be moving into iPod territory.
I'll tell you, I mean, think about
the poor iPod. I mean, you want to talk about a product that gets no love anymore.
But I can't do my job without two displays in front of me.
Right.
Right. And so you can't imagine, be able to buy your truck.
I can't imagine trying to do my TMO work on a 9.7-inch screen on an iPad Air. I mean, it's great for sitting on the couch, and it's great for checking radar scope and doing nighttime reading and all of those things that you do with an iPad. But when it comes down to actually getting workflow going and doing work, I need two 24-inch screens in front of me or I can't function.
So I'm not giving up.
Yeah, I'm not giving up yet.
All right. Well, on that note, we have to wrap up because we are totally out of time. So, Adam, thank you so much for jumping in and joining me today. And John, thank you for being here yet again.
As always.